working on praise his name. They took Jesus, they put nails in his hand. I know it didn't feel good, nor did it look good. And they took Jesus and ran him up between heaven and earth. Here goes Mary, his mother, and John, his brother, who's standing there looking. And they said, boy, this don't look good. But Jesus looks around, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No, it don't. Good. The devil slapping high five. We got him now. We put him on a tree. The same kind of tree that we got Adam and Eve with. Now we got Jesus with a tree. We put him on a tree. Oh, come on, praise his name. And Jesus, he looks up to heaven and he said, Father, I commend my spirit into thine hand. Now look like all hope is gone. It did not look good. Jesus didn't have a grave. They wrapped his body up, put it in a borrowed tomb, but it didn't look good. And see, what you need to know, it do look bad. And while you're going through in your dormant state, Jesus went to hell. They couldn't see Jesus working, but he was working it out. He went down to hell, took captivity captive, brought the righteous out of hell, the Sheol, or the place of the grave, went back to the grave. Somebody say yes. But on the third day, it didn't look good. But early, can I get somebody preach along with me and say, say, Sunday morning, he got up, and what didn't look good, it worked out for the good, not just for my good, but for mankind's good. He rose up, and he said, power, I have power, power, power in my hand. Say, yeah. So what didn't look good, it worked for the good. Say, yeah. Say, ah. Ah. No, he's all right. Yeah. Yeah. Won't he work for you? Won't he open doors that's been closed in your face? Won't he heal you? Won't he bless you? Won't he give you just what you need? Won't he, won't he? I say, won't he, won't he? Won't he touch your body and tell you to run on? Won't God do it? Is he able? Say yeah. Say yeah. I know he's all right. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He'll lift you up. He'll pick you up with your downtrodden self. Look like the enemy came in, almost took you out. You couldn't lift up your head, but I heard the word say, he's the lifter of your head. Say yeah, say yes. I heard him say that the enemy, that no weapon formed against me. Yeah, I seen some things. Some stuff came against me. I saw it form up, but I realized if God be for me, look here, you don't have to wait till the battle is over. If God's in the battle with you, you ought to shout now.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I present to you our pastor, Dr. John E. Montgomery II.
Thank you so very much. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity to study your word. Meet us in the text, tell her the truth. We're teaching that every hearer's heart may hear and heed what you have to say. Now, God, we pray that you would receive the glory and we the good. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise as you're seated in God's presence. Now, last week we had a few different readers. Can I borrow you, Sister McFarlane, if you don't mind, be my reader today? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to read from verse 1 through verse 9. I need you to read in this mic, so you got a mic. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through verse 9.
2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 9. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such as one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, and for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You said through 12?
Nine. Verse 10.
Oh, and verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
Amen. Thank you so very much. I want to focus our attention on ministering to those going through while you're going through. Ministering to those going through while you're going through. Paul sets up our little theme text, in verses 1 through 8, and he helps give us the premise and understanding how he had been blessed, wonderfully blessed with great revelations and visions of God's goodness, his power, etc. he had been taken to a place that was unlawful for men, one, to witness, but two, for men to speak of. The revelations were so rich and so wonderful. And he had all of those things in him that elevated him to new levels of spiritual height. And to keep a balance, to keep him in gravity, to keep him rooted, he was given a thorn. He was given an infirmity. And the record speaks about Satan to buffet him. And he sought the Lord three times that God would remove that thorn. And one of the reasons, no doubt, was because of his personal comfort level. He was not comfortable in ministering with infirmities. And so as a result of that, the mindset is, I could do a better job if I were whole. The mindset is, I could do more if this were working right, or that were working right, or so on and so forth. And so in recognizing this, he realizes something that's most important, and I think it's important for us, because whether you're a pastor, whether you're a minister, an evangelist, a missionary, a teacher, a witness, or simply a believer, God gives you opportunity to minister to folk at the most inopportune times. Sometimes God will bless your ministry the greatest when you are going through than when you feel like you're on top. Sometimes when we feel like we're on top, we credit all of our success to our efforts. This is what I've done. I've prayed. I've meditated. I've prepared. I. And very seldom sometimes does God get the glory for the success we receive. And so sometimes when we don't feel we are capable of doing what we have done in terms of preparation or presentation, we think that we have lessened our ability to be effective in ministry. When God uses those things many times to show us it ain't us anyhow. He shows us those things because it's important for us to recognize that our ministry gift comes from God. Our ability to minister comes from God. Our effectiveness in ministry comes from God. And our dependency to minister must come from God. And so whether you are in perfect health or whether you are experiencing some infirmities of one sort or the other, it's important to understand that it is the anointing that destroys yokes. It is the anointing that creates whatever it is God wants done in your ministry. Not you, him. Him. And so when you get to verse 9, Paul helps us in understanding our ministries, because, you know, you may be just as we call a church member that God may use on the job, speak his word, to encourage somebody else in his word. And yet there may be times you're not feeling good. You're not feeling right. You're not feeling capable or able to do what you think God needs you to do. But there are some things that you've got to understand, and I want us to look at this verse again. Verse 9 in particular says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. Now, here's what I want you to know. Point one, that God's, that your misery is not greater than God's grace. Your misery, whatever that may be, whatever the circumstances are that cause you to feel insufficient to minister to the best of your ability and to experience past successes, you need to know that whatever your miseries are, they are not greater than God's grace. And he said unto me, after praying three times, God, get me right. God, take this thorn from my flesh. God, restore me back to that level of health that I was in previously to do the work that you have for me. Yet God does not take the role that he wanted God to take. God rather says to him that your misery is not greater than my grace. He's literally saying to him, listen, I'm going to minister through you while you are ministering to others hurting in a hurt state yourself. Now, you know, this word goes out and it reaches other pastors and preachers and members and of the body of Christ. This is a message to encourage us to understand that God, when he gave us the gift of ministry, gave us grace sufficient enough for the ministry. In other words, before he called us, he already knew us. He knew everything that would happen to us, with us, and for us, and in us. And so therefore, his grace was sufficient for the ministry that he had given to us. And we're going to visit that a little later in the verse. But you need to understand, you can't get wrapped up in what you don't think you are, or you don't feel good about you, so therefore you don't feel good about your ability to minister. And see, the devil will get us that way because he'll get us feeling sorry for ourselves. He'll get us in a place of depression, or he'll get us in a place if we're not depressed, we're suppressed. Hadn't got all the way down, but it's down enough to keep us from doing what we do. And we've got to be careful that this is an attack from the enemy. Listen, it isn't you anyhow. At your best, it's not you. And so yet God shows and proves to the enemy, even though my servant may be wounded, I still can work through him. And see, God gets, believe it or not, more glory that way, because you don't get to share it with him. You don't even try. You're like, it's all God. It's God. Because I didn't feel like getting up this morning, and you ain't even got to be sick to feel that way. You know, I didn't feel like doing this. I didn't, you know, I was too weak to do that. I was on and on and on, and yet God gave me the strength. And you knew it was God. But as a matter of fact, you don't even try to step in the way and get 1 ounce of his glory. To God be the glory. It's all God. I mean, I know he used me, but it's all God. And so when you begin to understand that your misery is not greater than God's grace, you begin to understand that the enemy, what he may have meant for evil, God means that for good, even while you're going through. Yes, yes. Don't make the mistake of thinking you've got to come out to do good. Don't make the mistake of thinking you've got to have a clean bill of health that says you are healed and 100% recovered before God can use you continuously. Sometimes he uses you greater in those states. Guess why? Because it's less of you and more of him. Now notice what he goes on to say in this verse. He says, for what happens? My strength is made what? Perfect when? In weakness. For my strength, not your strength, is made perfect in weakness. Now, here's what I want you to understand. That your ministry, point two, is suited for you and not you, your ministry. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Your ministry is suited to you and not you, your ministry. Well, what do you mean, preacher? Well, let me see if I can help you out. Jesus said that Sabbath was made for man and not man the Sabbath. When he got ready to choose disciples, he went and on one occasion he was walking on the seashores and he saw some men fishing. And he called them and said, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I'm not going to change your practice. I'm just going to change your product. You're going to do what you've been doing, but you're going to be catching people instead of fish." And so what he really did was he suited their ministry to them, to their personality, to their abilities. And see, what you've got to understand is when God gives you a ministry, it is not so the ministry fits you or you fit the ministry. It is so that you are able to do naturally what God has called you to do. And so understanding that, you'll understand why God uses you many times in ways that baffle your own mind when you put a little bit in and got a whole lot out. And you're like, "Wow, man, I wouldn't expect." No, because he suited your ministry to you, to your personality. See, listen, you know, if he had not done it that way, then many of us would leave ministry undone. But notice what he says, "For my strength is made perfect." Now, what is important about this word perfect here means complete. My strength is made complete. Now, this word complete also is in reference to the ministry work. If God calls you to a ministry, he gives you a ministry that you can complete. A ministry that you can handle, a ministry that when it's all said and done, it's over. If you notice Jonah, God suited Jonah's ministry to him. And so Jonah didn't want to preach. Jonah tried everything he could to go every different way. God picked him up by way of sea and a large water mantle. Some of us call it a whale, whatever. Brought him and dropped him off on the seashore where he didn't want to be. Going to the people where he didn't want to go to. Preaching a gospel he didn't want to preach. But listen, he had suited that for him so much so that all Jonah had to do was what God told him to do and people start getting saved. He didn't have to have nothing special. He didn't have to tool himself for it. God gave him everything he needed to be able to do that ministry. So that was Jonah's ministry. He preached 40 days. And everybody under the sound of his voice was saved. And a whole city was saved. Listen, Jonah got mad. Because he didn't want it to be that way. They were enemies, natural enemies to his people. But what he didn't realize was that his ministry was suited to him and not him to his ministry. He couldn't fail if he just did his ministry. And he found out, "I don't care how he preached. Look, you know what? I don't really want to preach, but the Lord ain't pleased with y'all. I don't care how he said it, long as he got it out." I'm sure he wasn't enthusiastic, and I mean, he wasn't all, you know, spiritual and all the rest of that because he didn't want to do it. But here's what you got to understand. When God suits your ministry to you, all you got to do is do it, and the effects God will make himself. Now, here's what I challenge you to do. Go back and find Jonah doing something else in the Bible. And that was it because his ministry was suited to him. And when he was through with that, that was it. There was nothing else for him to do, because that's how God operates. And you've got to know, if God gives you an assignment, he's going to give you enough grace and power to complete that assignment. And that assignment, listen, is not going to be, and this is what blesses my heart so often, that assignment is not going to go undone until you have completed it, because it was your assignment, your ministry. Listen, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, weakness comes up, but the weakness isn't in God. It's in who? It's in me. It's in you. Weakness is always in the natural sense. Here, his strength, power, or ability is made perfect or complete even in weakness. It's perfected in ministry. And when that ministry gets weak, then the power that called you to the assignment shows up best. And sometimes God allows you to become weak. Well, he ain't really got to do it. He just allows you to see that you aren't all of that strong without me. And he lets you see that you can't do nothing without him. But with him, even in a weak state, he shows up, because listen, it's his desire. It's his design. And so what you're doing is because he chose you to do it. That's why you ought to not be trying to pick ministry to do, because then you might not be suited to do the ministry you pick. You just desire to do it. But listen, God is never going to give you a ministry he's not equipped for you to do. And so when he picks you and gifts you and graces you with the ability to do a thing, he matches that ministry up with you. Let me say this out. I'm going to throw this out parenthetically. You don't want a ministry God hadn't given to you. I think I'll say that again. You do not want a ministry, regardless of what it is, that God has not given to you. You really don't want a singing ministry if you can't sing. You will be embarrassed many a day. They're only going to take so many times. The piano wasn't tuned right. They wasn't in the right key. You know, whatever, excuses are going to run out. And that's with any ministry you pick to do that God has not equipped you for. That's why he suits the ministry to you. And that's why everything that you do in ministry that God's given to you, God makes successful. Now, that's why he says, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. Most gladly. Now, when Paul gets the revelation of that, he's like, man, listen, even in my weakness, the devil can't stop me. Even though he hit me with his best shot, knocked me down, kept me down, he did all of that, he still couldn't stop my ministry. Locked him up in jail, shipwrecked, all of these different beatings, all the rest of that, could not stop his ministry, because that was a part of him. That was just as much a part of him as he was a part of him. And that's what you've got to realize about yourself. What God has given to you, listen, the devil can't take away from you. You can become discouraged, and you, listen, can hinder the effects of your ministry by simply not doing your ministry. You don't know what God will do through you, even though you might be going through yourself. Listen, he would rather glory in his infirmities. The word infirmities mean weaknesses. It has reference to body sickness and body weakness, but it also goes further than that. It also means trials.